We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh, Johnny, Sam, Robert, and Tyler. We got the whole crew. We got the whole brain trust here for the best time of the year. It's one of my favorite episodes of the year. It is the post-bracket reveal episode. We're playing Friday night in our backyard here at 8:45 against the winner of Xavier and Texas. Let's just real quick, just initial reaction response to the draw, to the matchups, to the location, to the day, to the time, to the edge of the seed. Let's just kind of quick whip around to start. Just your initial reaction when you saw everything.
Johnny's got to go first.
I got to go first, and I could not be happier. I'm so excited. It's every year I get worried what the committee is going to do. Are they going to screw us over? We got such a great setup. Location-wise, Milwaukee and then Midwest region potential Indy, just awesome. The being a six seed, which was what we had really like deserved, getting the three seed of Kentucky, who, if you're looking at the other top seeds, like that's a vulnerable three seed. Love that. And then your first round matchup is either against a Xavier team or a Texas team who's like right around where an 11 seed should be. Now, some people may have feelings about playing versus a play-in team. I feel like there's pros and cons to that. But overall, we got probably like a 9.5 out of 10. Very, very excited.
Johnny, let me present you this. This year, we're going Milwaukee. Since we're going to Sweet 16, we're going Milwaukee and then Indy. Next year, since we'll be a protected seed,
yep,
we'll go St. Louis, Chicago, and then Indy for the Final Four.
Oh,
that's a march to the arch sort of
100%.
Just the travel now, is amazing. We're respected.
The next 8-9 NCAA tournament games we play will be in Milwaukee, and then Indianapolis. I have us losing in the Sweet 16.
I was going to say, I think you're missing San Antonio, but
yes. Yes.
There's John.
Milwaukee, then Indy, then St. Louis, then Chicago, then Indy.
It's just crazy. Like, we're getting more respect as a six seed than we did as a four seed or a one seed. Like, yep. I can't believe it.
Yep. And wow. Just think, like, we were, what, 22 on the seed chart, and Missouri was 23?
Yep.
If you flip those, they go Milwaukee. And we go to play, what are they playing? Drake?
Wichita, yeah, against Drake. Which if we were playing Drake right now, we would not. I don't think the mood would be as.
Ooh, I wanted Drake.
You really?
That's
okay.
A team we would have no problems with.
All right, fair enough. But you wouldn't be in Milwaukee though. You'd be playing in Wichita.
Correct.
So since we're talking about Missouri, I need to throw out some Mizzou hate. Remember, Drake's team this year is last year's Northwest Missouri State team. So basically, Missouri hired the best D2 coach who had won several titles at Northwest Missouri State. He brought four or five of his players with him, just built the same D2 team at Drake, won 28 games or whatever. When Mizzou was down and Northwest Missouri State was up, there was always this talk in the state of like, is the best team up there in Maryville or wherever Northwest Missouri State is? And now they will, like, this is a nightmare matchup for Missouri because it's these players have claimed for 4 years, you're right, we're better than Mizzou. We're the best basketball program in the state. So
it's Loyola. Yeah.
Yes, it's a nightmare for them, an absolute nightmare.
This is their opportunity to prove it. Tyler, what was your response just initially to the draw, the seeds, the region, the days, the times? We're on CBS. Robert, you pointed that out too in your tweet. All of it.
Well, for all the reasons Johnny pointed out, yeah, I mean, Milwaukee, close. And for selfish reasons, because it's Milwaukee, which is drivable for me, it's closer than a home game. That's 2 hours. If that to Milwaukee, it's 2.5 to Champaign for me. Because it's Friday night late, I can go as a media member of AlignerBoard.com. So I'm exceptionally excited, assuming we can get two credentials, but that's to be determined tomorrow. But outside of the seed situation, you know, the six is perfect for all, again, the reasons you guys mentioned. But I was just happy that there is not a narrative in sight. No former players, no
Great
former
point.
coaches. I mean, no UNC or UConn, nothing in the horizon, like no potential Missouri matchup down the road like that. Nothing that gets in the way to, of just basketball. I mean, yeah, I mean Houston's in the is our one seed, but you know, and that happens to get the whole Kelvin Sampson. But if we get that far, that's a lot, the least of my worries. I just hate the narratives like we had it with Loyola and that kind of thing in the past. So just happy to see a narrative free first couple rounds.
That's
Johnny, I'm
fantastic.
hoping that right now you are thinking, Chattanooga!
Yes,
Kelvin
absolutely.
Sampson!
Kelvin Sampson was, he was on the list. Honestly, though, the one we do have a potential rematch game in the Sweet 16, which I like. Tennessee,
Don't
like,
lose to a team twice. You don't lose to the same
exactly.
team twice,
It's hard to do it
except
twice.
if you play them in the Big Ten and you lose to them twice in the season.
And then you, I like, Houston's got a tough path. Because they have to play Gonzaga in the second round. That's a team,
Potentially.
that's a top 10 KenPom team that you don't want to play in the second round.
Yep.
Then, in
Purdue.
theory, Purdue in Indianapolis. So we could be, once again, Purdue rematch, multiple rematches in this regional here.
Johnny is
Sam,
just
I
like
hate
a
to make
meme
you
of
this guy,
himself.
but Sam, you need to step in here and be like, guys, did you watch us play? Against Maryland, we might lose to Texas by 10, and then it's all over because we're in giddy land here. Somebody needs to step all over it. We don't have Josh on the
He'll
line
be here soon. He'll be
to
here soon
hold
to
us
step
down
on it.
yet. So,
No, he'll be here soon.
Sam, it's your job.
I sent a text earlier. John, I was talking about like days of rest after the round of 32, and Johnny said, "Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Tennessee gets an extra day of rest." And I said, "Johnny, I don't even know what to say after like 5 years of this. I don't know if I should lean in or keep you in check or neither. So I don't know what a good friend
Is hard to
does.
tell.
Do they tell their friend to dream to the sky? Do they keep their friend in check? Do they just let him go?"
Yes. You see that girl over there at the bar? I'm gonna go talk to her. Do you say, hey man, just be prepared. Her and her friends might laugh at you, or do you say, you got this?
Yeah, go, you go talk to her for yourself. I can't get a read.
I love it. I love it.
Oh.
That's fantastic. Do we want to have the whole debate where it's like, would you rather know your matchup tonight, or do you think it's an advantage to play a first four? I'd be actually curious. I'm sure the data is out there of what happens in these games of who, like typically speaking, if a team that wins their first four matchup, what the statistics are. I'm gonna go on a limb here and say I'm happy with this. They gotta travel from Dayton. They're not scouting Illinois. I think it's a huge advantage. What do you guys
Not only
think?
do they have to travel from Dayton, they're at 8:10 on Wednesday night in Dayton. So that game gets over, that's 9:10 Dayton time. So that game gets over 11:15, 11:30 Dayton time. Then they will fly that night, the winner will fly to Milwaukee, get in what, 4 a.m. or whatever, and then have one day to prep and then game on Friday. So
It almost feels like they should just wait and fly until like the next morning at that
usually,
point.
but they like th there will be media started, like shoot arounds are usually in the morning, the day before the game, and then they have to do media. They have to do, the coach has to do a half hour, they have to do three players for a half hour, and they have to do like another half hour of the locker room open for any players to be interviewed. So they have to get there for that on
Okay.
Friday. Or on Thursday, which is the day before the game. So, yeah, I mean, they'll probably put them in the later shoot around slot, but those shoot arounds start at like 10 a.m. or something like that, and those players and those programs have to be there, and they're like required by the NCAA to be part of that. So, by at least 3 p.m., they'll have to do their shoot around and all their media stuff. So, yeah, it is
That's
a
brutal.
tight schedule for those play-in winners.
That's
I wonder.
brutal. That's
Yep.
brutal.
I wonder how much of an advantage it is for Xavier against Texas, just going from Cincy to
Good point.
Dayton.
Yep.
I was looking at the weather. I was like, I really hope it's freezing in Milwaukee. I don't know if it's an advantage against Xavier, but if you are playing Texas, even though like you're inside, you kind of just like want them to get off the plane or get off the bus and be like, this is not, we're not in Austin
Fair
anymore. Like
weather. Fair
we've just
weather.
become bear weather.
I love that. That's so specific. The like 4 minutes that they're outside, you want them to be cold for an
It's a
advantage.
mindset. Like it's a mindset. Like let's speed walk to the bus so we don't have to be outside for
It's crazy.
longer.
We could play a team if Texas wins. They were 6-12 in the SEC. We could play a team that was 6-12 in their conference in the first round.
A
That's
conference that got 14 of their 16 teams in the league, but I
yeah.
mean in the dance,
Good point. Yes. Good point.
and I'm sure we'll get into the nitty-gritty of what Xavier and Texas bring to the table, respectively. But just from a statistical standpoint, 11 seeds do historically very well in the tournament. They're like a 50-50 shot against 6 seeds over the last, I think, 5 or 6 years.
Since
And
2018, yeah,
yeah,
2018.
and specifically the play-in game winners, I'm looking at it's nine of their last nine, so exactly 500, 9-9 in the last since whatever that is in the last. Since 2018 when they started doing it, right? So yeah, I mean, it's statistically just, outside of the realm, there's a lot of 11 seed play-in winners that come in and win some games. So, it's not anything that, as mercurial, is that the right word, as we are as a team? I'm not sure that we should be looking too far past Friday night.
We're never, we always joke about this on the show. We're never allowed to look past one game. As the
Yeah.
podcasters, we have to stay dialed in and focused. We're going to be up grinding Xavier and Texas tape all night. I don't know about you guys. I didn't know, is Carmen up grinding tape? Is he football? Is he like,
No,
we're
no,
all
no.
at one.
Carmen would be like hating every ounce of a discussion beyond, like, don't even talk about Kentucky. There is one game at a time. You do not discuss the next. He won't even make tailgating plans 2 tailgates ahead because it's always like, wait for this next game, then we'll talk about it. So he is the most one game at a time person. Yeah, that's right. A year ago, right now, Tyler, Carmen, and I were in the car. Carmen was all freaked out because the guy recognized his voice in the stands from the podcast. So he claimed he was never going to do a podcast again. And he wouldn't talk in the back seat while Tyler and I joined you as
I
we were
remember.
having our "We're gonna win the whole damn thing"
I remember that.
podcast from the highway.
Carbon's got a recognizable voice on tell. You can tell when he's, because he's usually yelling at the referee, but you
Yes,
can tell his
100%,
voice
100%.
very, very clearly.
You know, I need to know is Johnny is are you and Dylan going? Like, we're keeping this thing rolling. What's the plan here?
Dylan and I haven't figured out, but I can tell you that both of us will definitely be in Milwaukee Friday. He also has some like connections with the team, so he might be sitting very close.
Don't you two have to sit together? Isn't this the
That is true. That is true. We'll have to connect.
after
Bounce
what
back
was it,
in.
9 individual shots of you guys during
In
the Kane
Omaha.
game?
Oh my
Johnny's
God.
packing. Johnny's packing one T-shirt for Friday and Sunday.
Yeah,
You
that's
know
right.
what shirt that is. He's wearing his Sweet 16 shirt on Friday and Sunday. Yeah, I think the plan is
March
for
means Johnny's face on TV season.
the slow-mo. I'll never get past the slow-mo. Let's like where they're it's like
Yes.
when the guy gets the and one and he's going like, let's go, and they slow-mo it before they go to break, but it's Johnny like celebrating an and one before they go to break. I will always have that image seared
It
in my
is
mind.
funny to think about, though, how much more of a home court advantage we're going to have in this setup versus Omaha last year. Like, Robert, I know you were at the first round game, and I was
Yep.
there at the second round game, where there weren't a ton of fans in general, as opposed to now. Like you fly out to Omaha, or now it's just so many Illini fans being able to drive up. Like, it's going to be basically like a home game, and I'm so excited for that. So I think my odds of being on TV are incredibly way lower, but it like just the pre like the pre-game bar experience is going to be awesome. It's going to be so much fun.
Somebody said to me a little bit ago, while I was at the media thing, with Friday night for one thing, but with it being Illinois and Kentucky in that night session, it's going to, like, the secondary market tickets are going to go nuts. Like, this will be the most expensive
Oh
ticket
boy.
of the first round because.
Don't I don't want to hear that, Robert. I don't want to hear that as potential buyers in the market right now.
Yes.
I don't want to hear that.
It's just gonna happen. Accept it, realize it, know it. Kentucky will be streaming there. They feel good again. They have a program again. There's a ton of momentum. And even though we're not playing them on Friday night, they're, when you buy a ticket, you get those two games. So it's gonna be nuts.
Just as a friendly reminder, in the episode last year in which Johnny was obviously not, thrilled with the draw, we penciled in BYU in the second round in the same way in which we are penciling in Kentucky. So just, I
Fair
don't know
point.
anything about Troy, but just throwing it out there. In the same way that we are not a foregone conclusion winning on Friday night, Kentucky is not a foregone conclusion. So I just want to, toss some Duquesne energy out into the universe here, just to
Yeah, Kentucky does have a bit of a recent history of losing early in the tournament, so we might want to mention that.
Last year, I remember driving back from Minneapolis, and we were talking with you guys. Who was the huge BYU fan that was just absolutely sure that was the worst possible? Was that you, Johnny, or was
Yeah,
that?
that was me. That was me. That was freaking out that they were supposed to be a 5 seed, and then
Yeah.
they got moved up a
I
seed
remember.
line, and
And
just
they were something like 12
and
and
the
10
funny
bomb.
thing, we know who BYU's coach was.
Oh yeah, Mark Pope,
Oh,
that's right.
that's right.
Yeah.
That's a
Let's
great
go.
story.
Huh. All right. Narratives galore by like 4 degrees of separation. Very much.
And one of their best players, Jackson Robinson, who transferred from BYU to Kentucky, injured
He's hurt,
for
right?
the
Yeah.
season.
Yep.
Same thing. They had Kirk Freesa. I think he's out.
Oh, I
So
didn't know he transferred there. Huh.
he killed us at the Arizona home
Arizona.
game 3 years ago.
Yep. That's a name right there. Yes. So just want to throw some. What conference is Troy out of?
Sunbelt.
Are they this? Were they the? They have to have been the Sun Belt. They were the Sun Belt champs, right? The Sun Belt was
Yeah,
a one. Was a
there's
one
no
big.
at-large
There was a
teams
one. It
for the
was a one
14
bid.
seed,
It was
yeah.
a one bid league this year out of the Sun Belt. I don't know. I didn't watch a ton of Sun Belt basketball. This winter, I do have to be honest. Good. Okay. What have we finished sort of going over our like initial reactions? What do we feel like we sort of need to dive into? Or I feel like we could do the whole talk about like, okay, the season plays out, we're here, we're the 6 seed, we can play the whole what was your expectation? If I told you on day one of the season, it would be a 6 seed, would you say, oh hell yeah? Would you say, I don't know? And then kind of going into the tournament, I feel like what most people are gonna say is win one game is like the expectation. Anything less than that is considered like a failure or a bummer. Anything more than that is considered gravy, and your over under is one game. So maybe we should have the general like season long up through this moment expectation talk.
Tyler, what did you have us? I can't remember.
I'm just so I'm pretty sure I was one game off. I think if you will fill the space, I'm pulling up the what I wrote exactly in our from the
Oh, yeah,
mega
here.
po mega pewter
Yes.
predictions from the preview.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'll go first then while you're looking that up. Like, I mean, it's kind of, I just wrote this the other day, but like, it's funny, right, that we have all this consternation, all of the emotions we've been through over the last year to be the number 26 team preseason and to be on the seed list as the number 22 team, and to be KenPom preseason 29, I think, and KenPom postseason number 20, I think we are. It's like we Tyler just wrote it as well. Like, we are who we landed exactly where a lot of us thought. There were preseason brackets. I think Lunardi's preseason bracket had us as a 6 seed. I think I saw that the other day. So it's like, all right, well, we played exactly the season. We got all excited by Oregon. We were all beyond depressed by Nebraska, and we rode this wave and that wave, and as it ended up, we were the number 7 team in the Big Ten tournament, and we're a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament, and we've ended up right around our expectations.
That's fair. That's it's not like a sexy answer, and it's like, no, we're hot, much
Yep.
higher, lots more, but it's like,
Exactly.
it's just
Exactly.
exactly
It's
where.
the most standard, like, wow, the preseason nerd stats have gotten really good, and where Torvik and KenPom thought we would be with all these new players that even some of us question of, like, how do we even know when you got so many freshmen and you got so many Euros and, how do we even know? Well, we ended up right what they expected.
Right, what they expected. As welcome, Josh. You're just in time. We're just talking about lodging for the Final Four. Where do you want to if you want to join us for that? I'm sure it's not a busy time for you. But yeah, we're getting an Airbnb in San Antonio.
Perfect.
Tyler,
So, yeah,
did
so
you
I'll
find
read
it?
to you verbatim from the preview. I said, okay, the Mega Pooter says 21-10 overall and 13-7 in the Big Ten. So that doesn't include, I didn't, when I do that, I don't include the Big Ten tournament because I never know how many games we're going to play. So that was regular season only. So a game off on overall and a game off on the conference record. And I put that's probably in 5 seed territory again, but I could also see something in 6 and 7 range as well because of early season struggles. So, kind of played out the way we thought when at the end of it all. But I think this season had such a range. I mean, going into that first Oregon game after the beginning of the year, I think everyone was still on the idea that this is a team that's probably upper mid Big Ten conference standings, solid NCAA tournament team, nothing special. But after that Oregon game, I mean, I was guilty of it myself. I was getting some serious Wake Forest vibes from 2005 after that game, going, wow, this team is good. And then obviously, so my personal expectations kind of amped up a little bit, and I'm thinking maybe this is a Big Ten regular season championship caliber team, 3 seed, 2 seed type kind of team. Obviously, then injuries and illness, we all know that story. I'm not going to go into that. And January, I mean February, January, late February were struggles, and then the Duke happened, and then you get back on the upswing again, and you're starting to get that vibe. Oh, I was telling Robert, oh, we're whole again. Hey, we're 2-0 as a whole team, and then Maryland just brings us back to earth again. So now we're in that mix where we're back to the matchups, and we get a team that is big and physical and old. We're going to struggle. If we get a team that likes to try and score, we'll probably outscore them. So
Yeah,
that's where I'm at with that.
pretty good prediction, Tyler. You're off by one. That's pretty good.
Off by one.
Off by one.
Yeah, I think though that like you think about this season, it's more of like a big picture sort of season of like this was a transition year. We ended up as a 6 seed, which was predicted. And to me, that's now we're in the tournament. We talk about just bites at the apple. It's a single elimination tournament. Weird things happen. Now this is our chance to, now we're going to outshoot our coverage a little bit. And sometimes when you're the 1 seed, you lose in the second round. I hope that this is just kind of like in the long run, Brad Underwood is going to perform in the tournament as expected. And like when I look at our seed line since 2021, right? That's 5 years. We were the number 3 team, then we were 14th, then we were 36th, then we were 12th, and then now we're 22. So you average that over 5 years, and we're the average, like the 17th best team, which I don't know. That's right around
What was that
where,
number again? The what number? What was the
yeah.
number?
What we're the 17th, one of the
17.
17.
Okay,
Yeah.
Oh boy.
17. I was figuring 17.
Does that number mean any
Not a
anything?
thing. Are
I'm
you
sorry.
telling me?
We definitely got it before we get off this. Johnny, I don't want to cut you off, but remind me, Robert, we got to talk, O-line before we get out of here. Just, got to talk some. Anytime we got Robert here, we got to talk football. But yeah, Johnny, the average there, 17th. Another
Yeah,
bite of the
just.
apple.
Yeah, exactly. It's another chance at, hey, let's make a run. And I think the 17 to me is like, wow, Brad Underwood resuscitated this program to now we are just exactly where Illinois basketball is slash was. Like, if you were to go through every single college basketball program, we're not a top 5 program. I don't even know if we're a top 10 program, but we're right around that 15 range. And just to know that we're kind of like back on track after what was the 2010s, which was terrible, just to be like, all right, just rinse, repeat, tournament appearance, another bite at the apple. Maybe this is the year we do it. We got a couple of lottery picks or a lottery pick and maybe another first round pick. Like, it just feels like from a macro sense that this program is just exactly where it should be. And it is really nice to just not have a bump. And your worst year in the last 5 years was being the 36th best team in the country.
Talk about high praise for Underwood right there, Johnny. What's the one through line of the last 5 or 6 years? Who is the one through line of the last 5 or 6 years?
And Brad Underwood.
That this is being done with two returning players, one of which played 7 minutes on Friday, and the other who's redshirting. So, you know, I said this several times this year. Underwood could have done this his first year if there was a portal. There wasn't a portal yet, so he couldn't have. But basically, this is essentially a first-year coach coming in, just like Kentucky did, just like Pope just did, and saying, all right, we'll start over, and here's what we got, and building a team like that, building a sixth seed. It's crazy how it all works these days compared to how it worked even when Underwood took over in 2018. For him to show this prowess in this era is even a little more impressive.
But also, the timing worked out well, and that, I don't know, the respect that Illinois had in 2018 is not the same that we have from like potential transfers. And I just wonder if we would have had the same like NIL budget and funding that we have now that we're just like in high motor. So the timing kind of worked out of like, all right, we're going to lose right before the 1 year transfer portal, all that stuff, but we're just going to be at the bottom. Like, we're just going to get the Dethunmu Coburn team, get us back to relevancy. Yeah. And now it's just hum, hum, hum.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we're a six seed this year. Say we bring back Boswell and White for seniors. Say Ivicic comes back for one more year. You have Merez, and then you build with a couple portal guys and this and that. Who's to say we're not a two seed next year?
Oh, my. We got to clip that now.
He's right. Like, think
about
it.
That's the era we're in. Like, we built this from nothing. Now we have something we might be building on next year.
Murkowski could come back, too. Just want to throw that out there. Could get an extra year. And T-Rod Edwards is also vouching for another year, too.
But, yeah, Maddie, think about it. Like, KJ's been an awesome player. He's going to be a top 10 pick. But he was a third-team All-Big Ten guy. So if you get like a first or a second team All Big Ten guy in the portal, now you're really like you have a college basketball team that has experience and that can really go far. And hopefully this team right now gets some tournament experience to then really like leapfrog into next year.
And that's the conversation right now, right? Like that's what's so desperate at Indiana is that they're failing in this era, you know? Like, they don't know how to build a team. They spent the most money in the conference. They missed the tournament. They fired their coach. You know, that's what, like, teams like Illinois and even like, you know, Clemson has kind of figured out in this era. But there's other teams that have, like, Iowa State has been like, okay, I think we know how to win in this era, and they're building teams to do it. And we have a coach that can do that. So it just makes me think of the desperation of other teams and other programs that missed the tournament today of like, you know, can Minnesota ever get there? Is Indiana ever going to get back? Like, how do you win in an 18 team Big Ten? You know, when it's all about NIL and it's all about now revenue sharing and everything else and building these year after year teams. You know, how do you get there when teams like Illinois have a head start?
Iowa's back to the drawing board. Northwestern's coach might get poached. Like, just you can get stuck in there, and it's just it's a bottomless pit.
It's so interesting how NIL has sort of reset. You know, with college sports being around for like 150 years, I feel like teams for the most part are kind of like you're in your tier, where for the most part you can have a year or two where you're up or you're down, but for the most part, like, you are what you are. But NIL feels like it's almost reset, where it's like, all right, if we figure out how to do this now, we can sort of move up a tier. Or if we're, you know, if we're like a quote unquote blue blood, like Indiana, and we don't figure out NIL, we move down a tier. So I've said this many times, this is such a good time for Illinois to have started to win. in the NIL era. It feels like it's a total
And to
restart.
have a coach who is a history of being a junior college coach who had to do it on the fly with in Florida and in community college. Like he's had multiple stints of being like, oh, guess I have to turn over my entire roster.
I think that's a really good point that right there, because I saw that of all the coaching hires the same year Underwood came in, he's the last one standing. Every other coach has either been fired or moved on, and it's due to his ability to adapt to the current landscape. And that's, I mean, it's not just recruit. I mean, I think the whole sense of, oh, he's a great recruiter is not really the case anymore, because that's just, it's like an antiquated term. It's like, how well do you navigate the portal and the NIL is kind of the new, well, who's the best recruiters? And obviously we got one of the best in the country in that, so.
I thought it was, and I never want the Kansas State job to open because I hate like the just any talk about Underwood and Kansas State. But I thought it was just very interesting seeing, obviously Jerome Tang 2 years ago, like he was, Kansas State was so exciting, and this year they spent a lot of NIL money. They kind of regressed for the second year in a row, and it was, I don't know, it was just interesting, kind of like seeing that fan base be like, we spent a lot of NIL money, and I don't know if our coach is the guy to get results with it. So it's just kind of interesting seeing year after year like which programs stick around. And I think kind of similar to when Underwood was here at the start, it's almost like surreal to be like, wow, like we kind of did survive another year. Like maybe that imposter syndrome is not valid.
By the way, I don't know if any of you guys saw what I put on Slack a few days ago, but I was searching for an article on something with Underwood, and I was trying several search terms, and I landed on an article I hadn't seen and that I don't think made the rounds. It was May of 2022. Underwood was getting an award from his high school. And the K-State writer went to the event and interviewed Underwood. And I maybe some of you guys saw this and remember this, but he asks him questions and they came after Underwood. Like he admits, like he's like, I never talked to the athletic director, but they made it known to my agent that I was their choice. And he even talked about how like he stopped taking phone calls from friends. Because K-State had like former teammates of him, his at K-State, calling him to put the full court press on to say, please come take the K-State job. But that eventually he knew he was in a great spot with a great AD who trusted him. He had just built it. He didn't really feel like rebuilding something else. And he even says, like, any other year in my career, I am sprinting to Manhattan. Like any other year, I would have done this. And it's just so weird that it happens when I'm in such a comfortable spot with a team and an AD and a roster I enjoy and a place I want to be. So I had never, I remember there were questions in Pittsburgh at the tournament that year of like, will you consider, some national reporter asked him, would you consider going to your alma mater at K-State and taking the job? And he just dismissed it and said, I'm here to talk about Illinois and we'll talk about that. And that's all we ever heard. He was legitimately pursued by K-State that year to, hey, come home and coach your team, and turned him down and said he loves it here. So it's pretty amazing. It's a function of like I had to buy a 1 month subscription to the Topeka newspaper to read this, and that's the function of how it works now. Like a story like that could be out there, and no one in Champaign is ever aware of it. It never makes it. Because someone would have to subscribe to read it, and that's just what it was. So,
Yeah, you would think that a story like that would make much would
all that I
generate a lot
remember,
more hullabaloo.
all that I remember was that there was like a $2 million difference between like what K-State was offering and what he was getting in Champaign, and it was just like, of course he's not going to take that offer.
That was the rumor, but in that article, they made it sound like they were going to pay him his Illinois salary.
Oh, well, yeah.
In that
I could
article,
word
they
articles whichever way I want to.
talk
Yes.
about a sliding doors moment then of if Wisconsin doesn't lose to Nebraska, like maybe this whole thing, Brad
100%.
Underwood leaves. Like winning that Big Ten title, being there on the floor, like that was probably such an important moment for Brad and his family. And I mean, when I think about Brad, the number one thing that comes to mind is he was an assistant coach at Western Illinois for 12 years or maybe 11 years, but
10 years.
Yep. It's just insane to think that that guy just from his 30s and 40s was just in at Western Illinois as an assistant making no money and has now his career is where it is. It's just, it's wild.
Crazy.
And that's another piece of it though, of like, that's probably why he values the Illinois job so much. When you were there in the 90s and you got your ass whooped by Bill Self and Lon Kruger, like, you understand what this program can be. And same thing with Josh Whitman, like the odds of him being a student, a football player when Illinois football was actually good. Like, there's just like a level of excellence that these guys believe in Illinois that the average person just can't even see or understand.
And remember the, like, remember the quote when he got this job, of how he, like, his secretary at the time made him write down, "What's your dream job?" And he, because he was at Western, he said, "Illinois is my dream job." And then she sent him some note right when he got the Illinois job of like, you know, "You achieved your dreams," kind of thing. So yeah, he holds this place in pretty high regard. It's look, we probably should be talking about the tournament. But like, we have a football coach who just went 10-3.
Yes, football talk. Yes,
he is happy in Champaign. It is my belief that he wants to be the Hayden Fry of Iowa, the Bill Snyder of K-State. He wants that associated with his name in the state where he was born. You know, he has young daughters. He built a house here. He's happy. He just went 10-3, and there was no talk of him going anywhere else. You know, we have a basketball coach who's turned down his alma mater already. And we have an AD who has, you know, resuscitated both programs with those coaches and, you know, has gone out of his way to make sure that NIL and everything else and revenue share and everything in the future will be taken care of. And now he sits as the chair of the D1 council, you know, as one of the more powerful athletic directors in college sports. Like, where we are right now, gentlemen, needs to be acknowledged. It's why all these crazy, like, "Oh, Underwood just hired his son," and, you know, all these little,
my bad,
myopic views of like little, like, where we are. There is, when I quit my job to do this full time, there was, I would have given 1 in 1,000 odds that I would be sitting right here after 5 years with a rebuilt football program, with a top 15 basketball program, and, you know, a disappointing season where we're a 6 seed and the number 22 overall seed on the seed list. It's, I mean,
thank you, Interim Chancellor Barbara Wilson, for hiring Josh Whitman. Like, yes, like, you got to remember how bad our university was doing at that point in time when we hired Josh Whitman. That was Bill Cubitt. That was, our chancellor resigns. It was bad.
It won't put a dagger in the program, yeah, though.
Yes. And I tweeted this earlier today, Robert, but like, think about if you're a senior at Illinois right now, your freshman year, they won a Big Ten title in 2021-22. Then their sophomore year, they got 8 wins in football. Then their junior year, second place in the Big Ten, followed by a Big Ten tournament win, followed by an Elite Eight appearance. And now their senior year, they have a 10-win football season and a top 25 basketball team, which has the potential to go on a run. Like, 2 8-win football seasons, 4 tournament appearances, just...
There is only one person on this podcast right now who can top that. And it's the only person on this podcast right now who was on one of those teams.
And I think that's Tyler.
But yeah, I mean, look at Tyler's 4 years. Like he had the 89 football season too. So yep. Like, yes, like, there is one person here.
They have Austin Peay in there too, though.
That's a good point. Austin Peay and Villanova. Yeah.
Yeah. If they need to make like a, we need to develop this in the offseason, some sort of like weighted statistic where you somehow are grading, you know, football wins and basketball. And we can even add in Illinois Athletics tweeted where one of 9 programs to have made the tournament this year in men, women, and volleyball, which if we make the tournament all 3 of those next year and in football, I bet we'd be like the only program to do that. But I want to create some sort of like weighted metric to sort of like understand the overall health of like the athletic department or even just the revenue sports. Like, when was the last time that statistic would have been this high? Football and basketball. I know we're getting off from the tournament again, but you got us on
Probably
probably.
someone who was a student from like 04 to 07 or something like that, or 03 to like just having a Rose Bowl and a national championship. Like, but
But
any
even then, you
time,
had a two-win season, two-win season, two-win season Rose Bowl. So, like, they had
Yeah, but
six
it's weighted.
total wins over. No, it was, let's see, it was, yeah, 1-3-2-2. So that if somebody started in 04, graduated 07, they would have seen football win one, win 3-2-2, and then Rose Bowl.
But
So.
I would rather, and I guess this is where some subjectivity comes in. Like, I'd rather go to a Rose Bowl and see, those 2 to 3 win seasons than go like 5 and 7, 6 and 6. There's a little bit of subjectivity, but I would take one Rose Bowl for 3 crappy years of football for sure. I guess that's up to, there's a little bit of subjectivity there, but would you rather have like sort of one semblance of like balance of 6 or 7 win teams year in, year out, or would you rather have, 2 win, 2 win, 2 win, 3 win Rose Bowl? Same thing with basketball.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I want programs, and the only comp to where we're at right now with both programs, I'm not saying seasons, because obviously, if you're saying seasons, 01 football and 01 basketball were both fantastic. If you're just looking at like a year, you won the Big Ten in football and you got the Elite Eight in basketball. But like, if we're just looking at like where we are program momentum wise, really the only. The only comp is 89, 90. 89 football won 10 games. 90 football tied for Big Ten title, but didn't go to the Rose Bowl because Iowa had been longer since they went. But 89, 90 football, and then 89, obviously Final Four in basketball, and 90 as a 5 seed. So, I think that's the only other time where the train was on the tracks and moving like this.
Wow.
Tyler, I don't know if you have any other opinion, but I it was okay
83.
99, 2000 and 2001 because football was kind of there, but it immediately fell apart, and so I can't foresee that with so many players coming back for football this year. So yeah, I feel like we're just in the, we're in a spot that we haven't been in 35 years.
Johnny's like 83. I remember 83. That
Yeah,
was a
well, what
solid
about
Johnny's
83? No, that was
Mike White.
no,
Johnny's
that
like,
was
I remember.
my dad's senior year, right? They win the Big Ten and then they go to the Elite Eight and lose to, who guessed it, Kentucky
Kentucky.
in Lexington in the Elite Eight. So
Did
that,
you
but
travel?
that's that, I feel like that's a step up of where we are, right? Like, you're the only team in the Big Ten to ever go beat every other Big Ten team. That's like historic.
Yep.
Anyways, you guys want to talk about the
There's
big basketball tournament that's
actually a
going on
tournament
this week?
going on. I heard, yeah.
That's
Wait,
it.
what channel is True TV? Got it. Had Josh. Josh hates it when I do the same jokes year in and year out, but I had to give him the what channel is True TV.
Is
Let
that
me do the.
the guy, the prankster TV show
Yeah,
channel?
they're gonna. It's yes. Yeah, they always have an Impractical Jokers episode
Yeah.
at the end of the night there, but we're not even on True TV or on CBS. Yes.
CBS?
Well, okay. Anyways, back to the tournament. Well, what
Let's just do a little self scout because I think we haven't talked a ton about the guys on the team and where we feel like we're at. And then also, I would like to talk about who everyone would rather play between Xavier and Texas. But self scout, Tyler and Robert, like, what do you think of this team in terms of just like this weekend? What do you think? Like, how do you feel about maybe our freshmen being our like biggest ball handler, our front court maybe being replenished after injury? Like, how do you guys feel about this team, and where do you think we can go?
Tyler first.
Well, I don't want to keep hedging, I don't want to keep falling back on the same thing about matchups, but obviously, after the Duke game, there's a little bit of change in a slight little tweak in the defense, compared to what we did earlier in the year. KJ had games where he wasn't turning the ball over, and even with Merez out, we shot a little better from three, and got a little roll. We matched up really well with Iowa, so that was, a little bit of fool's gold, because it came so easy. But then, I'm not sure I want to if I want to use the Maryland game as a benchmark, because I think Maryland is unique in their ability to match up well against us, and I think that's not always going to be the case. You're not going to find that degree of inside outside and physicality that at least early on in this game in this tournament. So I think from a take the temperature of the team right now, I'm still happy with where they're at. I think that Merez coming back allows you the depth you need if you're gonna, play two games in a weekend. I think the shooting is coming around. I love the fact that Will Riley's got the ball in his hands more, and this we've kind of gone away from ball screening and allowed guys to cut, a lot of cutting type offense, and we've seen the resurgence of Trey White from that situation, and that's a net positive, obviously, but that the old scaries of okay, what if KJ turns the ball over seven times? What if we go 2 of 22 from three? That specter is always out there. So, that's always the concern. I mean, what that's that that one of those nights is probably waiting out there. It's just a matter of can we hold off on that, for 2 or 3 games and make a little run. So.
Tyler, when you're talking about the Maryland matchup, I guess is there anything that like particularly stands out in like the types of teams that they are versus like I guess other teams maybe compared to like Texas or Xavier, where it's like is it something with tempo? Is it just size, strength? Like what do
Well,
you?
I don't like I don't know I don't know much about Texas or Xavier at all about their post up, but Maryland is a team that will dump the ball into the post and let their bigs go one on one. And Tommy is as good as he is, he's not the most physically imposing defender, and that makes him prone to foul trouble, which obviously happened. And Brad's not going to send a double team because he's so anti three-pointer. And so if teams have the ability to dump the ball down, it exposes our one-on-one defense. And if a team like Maryland, when we can handle the twos that Derek Queen was, we can handle the 2-point shots if it's just that. But the issue with Maryland is they have such good 3-point shooting as well. And we let Rodney Rice, I mean, KJ went under a couple screens and let Rodney Rice get loose. What do you shoot? 0-7 the next game or something like that, against who they play, Michigan. And
Michigan, yeah.
and at that point the game was just out of hand. And so because they're so unique in being able to play inside out, and I don't think many teams do that anymore. And again, I don't know about Texas or Xavier, but again, a team that can dump the ball down and force and take those easy post-ups or allow the 3-point line to be unguarded, we're going to struggle with. And I'm not doing a very good job of explaining myself, but
No,
I just
I
think
understand.
that it's just a situation where Maryland has that ability to dump the ball in and play an old school post game, and we have trouble with that defensively.
That was a long-winded answer to basically say all of our threes are going to fall and KJ is going to have his best game of the season on Friday night.
No,
Well, again,
that's
offensively, I mean,
fair.
that's fine, but again, I think just Maryland's a great defensive team too. They're like I think I saw they were in the top. One of the top defenses in the last since January, and basically against high Division I teams. And Tommy's not we're not gonna dump the ball down like they do because Tommy can't he's not a very good low post one-on-one player. And so their height negated kind of that cutting we were doing, and We turn the ball over a ton, so that's never going to be a good combination. But I think it's more on what Maryland can do offensively that makes them such a difficult matchup for our particular skill set or roster.
Yeah, the matchup I would have hated is like, when I was looking at some of the potential 11 seeds, and San Diego State did get in. Like, San Diego State is this horrific offense, but still plays good defense to, and that got him in the tournament kind of thing. What were they? I got KenPom here. San Diego State was number 13 KenPom defense. Like, that kind of thing would scare me. Maryland's number 6 KenPom defense. For Texas and Xavier, I'll just read the numbers. Xavier offense 52, defense 44. Texas offense 37, defense 57. So neither is like that shutdown defensive team that would have scared me. Like, that's the only KenPom matchup I didn't want to see. Is that kind of like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example in the Big Ten of some like bad teams that still had a good enough defense that gave us problems. So, like, I don't know. Like, you guys know that last year I even went after Johnny on this exact podcast to say, like, no, screw the BYU thing, throw it all out. Like, we're on a roll. This is vibes. This is, everything else. This year, just on quick glance, as soon as I saw our potential opponents, even Kentucky, I've been in this, like, God, this matches up well for us. Like, Kentucky has a good defense. Or I'm sorry, Kentucky has a good offense,
Yes.
but they're 56 defense, this and that. So, of our potential lockdown defenses that we might play, that starts to crank up the turnovers for KJ and starts to crank up the mess we have seen, the mess we saw in the Duke game, everything else, where we just run up against something, we get frustrated, and then the effort just falls off a cliff. Compare that to when we play in Iowa, where we were just so much more comfortable. And as Underwood even said in the press conference tonight, he's like, against Iowa in the tunnel, we were jumping off the walls. Like, we're so ready to get out there. And against Maryland, we weren't. And he's like, that's my fault, and I should have done this. But, like, there is something to when we know we're not going to face a lockdown defense, we're not going to shut down. So my fear going into these matchups was, oh God, what if we get one of those 10 seeds or 11 seeds if we're a 7 or a 6, where we're playing a KenPom 121 offense but 12 defense kind of team, like a San Diego State or whatever, and we just aren't facing any of those. So, I probably rely on those numbers too much, but that made me really, really happy that we're not in a spot where we're gonna, hit that wall and get frustrated and shut down like we saw Madison Square Garden, even like we saw against Maryland.
Well, we use KenPom pretty religiously around here. So if there's any numbers that you want to reference, Robert, I would say KenPom is pretty much, I don't know if there's a metric that we use more frequently on this show than
Yes.
KenPom rating. So it's very good. Yes, it's very good. First to 100 rating.
I lean way too into this is a defensive team, this is an offensive team. I lean way too into the second set of numbers, not so much the first one, but like I'm always obsessed with like, oh man, I was scared of it last year with Iowa State because they were such a good defense. Like, is that the is it an unstoppable force, a movable object here, or what's it going to be? And so, yeah, I always lean into those offense defense numbers, and these two matchups for us, we finished what 15 offense, 41 defense. So we're probably better. We probably want to play more Iowa-like games, and neither Xavier nor Texas nor even Kentucky scares me in a this is going to be a Maryland-like struggle.
And
So,
Troy's defensive KenPom rating, Robert, did you have mentioned that by chance?
let's see.
Again,
We're
for the
trolling. We're
Troy fans
looking.
listening to the show, I feel like they're
Yes.
feeling really
Let's see.
slighted
Troy was
right
number
now.
14. 14 seed, Troy, Sun Belt, 153 offense, 71 defense.
Okay.
So they're a better
Okay.
defensive team than offensive team, but still 71 is basically like, it's like playing Minnesota's defense or something like that.
That
So.
would be a quad two. If we were to play Troy, that would be a quad two game, I would imagine. Although, Yeah, that would that fall in the quad two category? Or would actually would
Yes,
that fall in
and they
the
do update those team sheets. I don't know why they do it, but they update those team sheets all the way through the tournament. Just to
Really?
show.
It's
Yes, so if you
fun.
go to the NCAA archive for each season, it has the tournament games, and they're like, oh, they played a quad two in the Sweet 16. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't count toward anything, but that's what it is.
We're just not allowed. We're not allowed to play any quad three teams this year. That's kind of our thing. We really have to stick. Are there any quad three teams that we could
Good point. I don't know what Troy is on the net, so let me look that up while you tell me.
could we meet like McNeese State in the Final Four, and it would be a quad three matchup, and it would just be a nightmare for us because we haven't scouted against any quad three teams all year. What's SIU?
They were quad
That
four.
would be a, what, an Elite Eight, right? That would be an Elite Eight matchup. That would be something right
There you
there.
go. Already beat them.
I think from a Ken Pom standpoint, I always look at what's the best thing that we're or what's the thing that we're best at. The best thing we do is offensive rebound. We go get our misses, and so I would not like to see a team that has a is a good defensive rebounding team. And if you look at Xavier, they're a very good defensive rebounding team. They don't go to the glass on the offense. Clearly, they're one of the worst offensive rebounding teams in basketball. But that speaks to probably what they want to do and not allow fast break points. But just based on that, I'd probably rather play Texas. Just look at just from a pure KenPom standpoint. But we're also very good at scoring around the rim, and I think neither of those teams are particularly good at defending the rim. So I think again, we'll score the ball against either team, but I think it's going to come down. I mean, both those teams are Xavier's sixth in 3-point percentage in the country. Texas is not far behind. Texas shoots it from 36. Xavier at almost 39%. So again, just at first glance, I think I'd rather play Texas. Xavier's also riding a really hot win streak down the stretch, where they won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row. Again, those were all Q2, Q3 wins, but you can use those wins to kind of get things right and find yourself. And they played Marquette really tough in the opening round of the Big East tournament. They lost, but just first glance, I think I'd rather face Texas.
You want that
Yeah.
SEC team? You want the SEC team, Tyler? The 14 bid conference, even you want the SEC team.
I'm going off pure KenPom. Again, what do we do best? Take conference affiliation out of it. We
Sure.
rebound the basketball and we convert at the rim. And just on those two things that from a KenPom perspective, it looks like that the matchup for me is favors Texas over Xavier for that.
Yeah, it's interesting when you take a look at the rosters. I would say Texas stands out a little bit more in terms of just like quality of players, guys who you might know. So I think Shedrick is their center who we played against when he was at Virginia. They also have a potential lottery pick,
Yeah, they got a guy, but
but
that's one of those things where what's his name? It's Trey Johnson. That's one of
yeah.
those things where I think you put Kylan on him, and then that hopefully negates that a little bit. Kylan's really good, one-on-one defender. So
Yeah,
if
and then they also have Arthur Kaluma, who's kind of like bounced around. He was at
yeah,
Creighton and K-State.
he crossed our recruiting pathway a few times, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But the interesting thing is you look at the opposite of that, the Xavier team. One, their number one player is Zach Fremantle, who's been playing college basketball since 2020, since Kofi's freshman year. But they also have a guy named Dante Maddox, who you guys might remember we recruited from Toledo. He was in the portal this year. Maybe Robert, that name doesn't ring a bell because you're more of a, we'll wait until the roster's
What's recruiting
finalized.
again?
But yeah. But yeah, and then they also have Ryan Conwell, who's on that Indiana State team last year. So Xavier definitely has some shooters. I don't know. I kind of like playing a team that they're the sixth best 3-point shooting team in the country. Like in a one game sample size, when one of the things that Brad Underwood likes to do is get you off the 3-point line. Like, I don't know. I get excited about that.
I do if I didn't see Maryland
Yeah.
and Iowa light us up in the last two
Yeah,
games.
we're due.
We're due to have a guy
Yeah.
not like tie a tournament record in 3-pointers. I'm calling it right now. I don't know what the tournament record is for 3-pointers hit in a game, But they're not hitting it in our first round matchup there after what Rice and Sanford did that in back-to-back games right there. Can we talk about KJ for a second? I think Tyler, a second
Yeah.
ago, you talked. I know, he's kind of been a little bit up and down, topsy-turvy. When I close my eyes and I think of like the tournament, I think of like superstar players kind of having their coming out party and having their one shining moment. And maybe this is just like the Homer, Illinois fan. I mean, when I close my eyes, I see KJ in our second round matchup against Kentucky having like a top five game of the year where he finally puts it together on national television. He shuts the haters up. He elevates his draft stock. It's the, all right, KJ, like you are absolutely leaving and you've locked yourself into a lottery pick. No turnovers, just absolutely lights it up, and he finally puts it together. So in my mind, that's my like, if I could have like one thing in the tournament, it would for KJ to have his like coming out tournament, like one shining moment. And there's just no question about the player that he is. When we look back in 20 years from now, we'll kind of forget the sort of topsy-turvy season that he had, but we'll remember, because recency wise, we'll remember the last game that he had. Maybe the last game. I don't want to say Kentucky would be the last game, but one of the last games that he had his tournament one shining moment appearance.
I definitely don't want him to have turnovers, but it kind of reminds me of Brad talking about letting Coleman run hot, where it's like, obviously you don't want him to have turnovers, but like, if you think about like Illinois winning this tournament, he's, which is probably like a crazy thing to say, like in that scenario,
Win the
KJ
damn
win
thing.
the whole damn
Win
thing.
the whole thing.
In that scenario, KJ is just like, he's not playing cautious basketball. He is moving 100 miles per hour. Like, so I don't know. It's part of me is like,
Let him
I
free.
want him
Set him go.
to yeah, let him go. Let him catch fire a little.
Well,
Like, win.
I don't think that's it. We've had it. Brad's ever put the reins on KJ. I think he
No,
lets him
no.
do things, and it's, three or four turnovers fine, but I think KJ, his turnovers are often so unforced, and
Yeah.
they end up being runouts the other direction. And see, again, three or four or five turnovers fine. It's good. Let him play. He's going to make some passes that guys aren't going to get to, and see things the other guys aren't. That happens sometimes. But when you're in the 6-7 range, now you're getting, and teams are converting those. I think Maryland and Iowa each had 17 points off of turnovers in the last two games. So again, some of that's okay, but it's just, you got to dial back a little bit. We can win games with him turning the ball over. It's just that as we said, our offensive game is based on getting missed shots, so we get more opportunities at shot volume and get more shot attempts up than the other team. And you can do that when you miss a shot. You can't do that when you turn the ball over. So,
Yeah, and it'll be coming off two six turnover games. I think it's interesting to see like
yeah,
how a
agreed.
guy like that approaches it. You've never been in a situation where it's your season's truly over if you don't win.
But to that point earlier about, teams that are good 3-point shooters, Brad's defense is to
Push.
negate 3-point opportunities and force team into 2-point shots, hopefully mid-range shots. And the Big Ten is such a well-coached league, and other teams know that. We talked about Maryland earlier when I was trying to explain why Maryland's such a tough matchup, and you become familiar with teams, and guys like Kevin Willard and Tom Izzo and those guys, they can find wrinkles in the offense that they can do to negate what Brad wants to do. It's difficult for a team that's coming off a one from a different conference on a one-day scout to understand and try to offset Brad running guys off the 3-point line. And so I think that's works to our advantage, is that the unfamiliarity with Brad's defense, I think, does play well, even though those are two solid 3-pointers. Both Texas and Xavier are both solid 3-point shooting teams. So,
It's always fascinating the way in which your sort of coaching philosophy changes. Like when you play in a 20 game or an 18 game league the entire year, and you have all year to sort of prepare for these guys, and you play these guys once or twice a year, two, three, four times a year, versus, okay, you don't even know your opponent until 24, 48, whatever hours before. How the sort of coaching philosophy changes, to me, that's so interesting. It's like guys talk about like, he's a really good, I'm not, when I say he, I'm just saying theoretically, I'm not talking about Brad. He's a really good coach, during the season, but then in the tournament, I mean, talk about maybe like a Fran McCaffrey, for example. Like, pretty solid 15 years at Iowa, but could never get them past the first weekend. So I'm always fascinated by that sort of how much do coaches change their sort of philosophy, or what do they change when they're coaching, entire 5 month season? But then you kind of get into the week before the tournament. Maybe Tyler, you could talk about that when you were there. Like, does coaching philosophy change when, again, you're playing in a league where you know these guys, you play them 2, 3, 4 years in a row, and then all of a sudden it's just like, boom, how do you make that shift? How do coaches typically make that shift where they have to scout on 24, 48, 72, how many hours, just with a moment's notice?
I mean, that's why you run a system, right? You're not going to change. You're not going to implement anything new. So you just say, hey, we're going to run our stuff, and we hope that what we've established throughout the course of the season is better than what you have established over the course of the season. And I don't think it's they're not going to do anything dramatic. It's just it's more about, okay, they're going to do. It's tough because, like we said, we're going to have to scout two teams, and but I think that plays in even more. It's like you're not going to change much. You say, hey. You want to dictate the terms of the contract. You want to decide how the game goes and not let them react to you. Say, hey, here's what we do. You have to adjust to us rather than the other way around. And I think that's the benefit of having the more talented team, we'll say, as opposed to the matchup we talked about earlier, that Drake Missouri matchup is going to be fascinating because Missouri wants to get up and down. Drake wants to really slow it down. And in a situation like that, whichever team gets to dictate the tempo is typically gonna be the team that comes out on top in those really divergent kind of matchups. But I don't get that sense with Texas or Xavier. So again, I do like the coaching situation here where we can kind of hopefully establish the rules of engagement, as we'll say, and make them react to us.
Hell yeah, I like that. Yeah, cool stuff.
Who wants some Kool-Aid?
I'm pretty
Bring
thirsty.
I would love some Kool-Aid.
Is it orange?
I'm drinking a blue Powerade here. Does that count?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's fine.
Adam Zagoria, Zags blog guy, just tweeted NCAA tournament odds. Duke's the favorite. +330, Auburn +350, Florida +350, Houston +750. Then he lists after that, Tennessee is 16-1, Alabama 18-1, St. John's 20-1, Zona 26-1. Surprising, Zona as a four seed is ahead of Michigan State. Michigan State and Texas Tech are 28-1, Gonzaga 33-1, Iowa State 35-1, Kentucky, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Illinois 50-1. So no four, five seeds. They got an eight seed Gonzaga as a 33-1, probably because of their KenPom ranking. And yeah, same odds for Kentucky, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Illinois.
Evan Mayakawa tweeted that the eight seeds are all better than the five seeds per his ranking.
I saw that. Yeah, that's so
Interesting.
interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
50 to 1. So is
Yeah,
that what, like a
and
2% chance?
it was 80-1 a couple weeks ago when I was in Vegas and looking at national title odds. So
You got it. So
that,
you, AK, you got it at 80
yeah,
to 1 is what you're
we
saying.
got some value. But I think that's the point potentially of Illinois got a decent setup here, right? Like you're not playing directly against, like, let's say a Duke or an Auburn. Like, I don't know, of all the one seeds to be in the same bracket as Houston's probably your choice.
Is
Yeah.
were they the fourth one seed?
They
Were
were the
they
third.
the four? Okay.
And of all the threes, I don't hate Kentucky.
No.
Texas Tech, we're obviously not going to play Wisconsin, but our other options as the three to be paired across were Iowa State again, Texas Tech, and Kentucky. I don't
I
hate
would pick Kentucky
Kentucky.
one out of those four.
Yeah, easily.
Like, especially the Iowa State, that's a story and a, oh, we ended their season last year. So many guys on that team getting fired up for that game. Kentucky, what do Mark Pope's guys care about Illinois?
And I don't want to get this wrong here. I don't want people to hear me say, like, well, 50-1, we can win it all. Like, we saw what happens when we play at Duke, right? We just saw what happens when we play We just watched us play Maryland and get completely taken out of the game. So I'm not, this is not last year where I'm like, hey, you never know, you never know. But it is like, we're draw wise, I think everybody here will take, like, I don't know of anyone who doesn't take this draw.
No, you. I don't think, realistically speaking, could you have how much better could you realistically have set it up in
And
terms of
let's guess was going to be a
location
2 last week. Iowa
in
State was
Milwaukee?
2 most of the year, and they both fell to a 3. That could be like a, oh man, we're playing a top 5 kind of team here. I don't think Kentucky is that team. They've had the same issues we have where, you assemble a team in 1 year and you're going to have some games where everything looks like a big old clunker. So yeah, it's I am
And do we
Milwaukee.
ever get to the point where like you're it's so good that you're nervous that it's so good?
100%. Yes.
Because like after last year we were in the quadrant of death.
Yes.
What is that after the quart? So you go from
No,
the
without
quartile of death,
the
not the quartile of death, to the quadrant of
quadrant
death.
came first before the
The
quartile.
quartile, yes, not the
But
quartile
yeah,
of death.
I haven't mentioned this stat on the pod, but like if you just look at KenPom ratings, right? Like Kentucky's 16th. Teams and Xavier is 43rd, Texas is 44th, and teams between 15 and 44 were 7-0 against those teams. So that's like
Well, there you
teams
go.
in our weight class, we have handled for the most part.
Yeah, you
Teams in
can.
the Duke and the Alabama and
Tennessee.
the Tennessee, like that's maybe
Not so
not where
much.
we can really win games, but teams that are like us, we've done pretty well this season.
Yeah, I mean, you can from a, because we're so close to it, and we see all the warts that our team has, but because you can talk yourself into anything if you want to go that route. But if you look at it, I mean, Texas and Xavier were two of the last four teams in the tournament. They're 11 seeds for a reason, and so you just kind of view it as that and say, yeah, of course, because anything could happen. But I mean, if I was an outside observer, I wouldn't be, oh, look, wow, Texas and Xavier, they're going to give Illinois a really hard time. I just don't, but because we're so close to it, it's hard not to go that way. But you look at all the relevant stats. Xavier has one Q1 win. So,
Who
yeah,
was
I'm not
it?
afraid of that.
Didn't Xavier play Michigan?
They did. They lost by 25.
Go Big Ten. Go Big Ten. That was an early non-con
Texas
game. Yeah, I
lost to
remember that.
Ohio State too, but that was literally the first game of the year, so I don't think that really has much relevance, but.
Yeah, that's
Just to
true.
talk about the bracket for a second longer, we love our draw. There are two teams that notoriously just get like the refs calls all the time that are just so upset about their draw right now. And it is Wisconsin fans and it is Michigan fans. It is the best thing in the world, just like taking a peek at their Twitter.
How mad is Wisconsin that we are in Milwaukee and they're not? I mean,
Yeah,
honestly,
and then
that's brutal.
they're in Denver against BYU. Like they are so upset
At altitude.
at altitude for,
Oh,
against a team that plays in altitude.
that's
And
wild.
on Thursday too, right? So they have even less rest,
They
right?
have like the
After playing
third
today.
game. Yeah, they have the third
After
game.
playing 4 games in 4 days.
And you don't even get to win a, yeah, you don't even win the you don't get a ring out of it.
Do you know what that means? They're probably gonna win it all.
Yep.
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
You think you
Michigan
really
fans
see
aren't.
Stephen Crowell holding the title? Can you really imagine that?
Hey, as a champion today, I can see anyone winning a Go Newcastle.
There it is. There it is. Did they win some sort of thing today?
Yeah, a Mickey Mouse trophy, as Sam would say.
Got it. Okay. Good. Any other, yeah, bracket overall general without other than Illinois, just bracket stuff. Generally speaking, about the bracket, any other bracket,
I'm going to be totally honest. I haven't looked at, like, all I look at. Like, I couldn't tell you who plays who. I haven't even looked at a bracket yet.
you've just looked at like one corner of the
Yes.
bracket. You just
100%.
see just
Like,
the
you guys are
little.
mentioning some of these things, like, oh, Wisconsin is in Denver. I'm like, oh, really? I
I
just
didn't
get
know.
so focused. I've said it before. I'm not a college basketball fan. I'm an Illinois basketball fan. I'm not a college football fan. I'm an Illinois football fan. Like, I care. Tyler can tell you, I had an article I wrote that he saw. Did you read it, Tyler?
I
the
did
draft.
read up to your last hanging sentence that you'd left there.
Yes, yes. I deleted it because I didn't want to publish it. And it's just me ranting about, like, I hate, like, all these tweets over the weekend from national writers are like, oh, check out the Saturday. And then we got the Creighton against this and this one. And then flip over to this channel and you got Wisconsin and Michigan. I don't care about that stuff. Like, I hate that kind of talk. It's just like, you're not invested in anything. You're just like peering in through the window at college basketball, like, oh, I have no investment. I have no, there will be no pain. I'll just watch for teams to do good. So I wrote
How
this
would the
big, long, ranting article that I just couldn't publish because I'm annoying
how
sometimes.
was the
But
yard work yesterday, Robert? You're not watching any college basketball.
it got rained on, so we couldn't do that. So
Were you so
my
were
wife
you
and I did
forced
a
to watch? Oh,
little
well done.
true crime documentary, like a four-part true crime. That's how we spent our Saturday. Didn't watch a single ounce of basketball.
Got it.
But
Well, they
yeah,
canceled all
John
the games.
versus
There weren't
John
any.
Rothstein, who's just going to list names of colleges and coaches. And
Yes.
like that's
Goes, oh, I
that's
love
really,
this. I'm on this team. Invest in something.
And he's just going to be like, and Missouri with Dennis Gates is
But that's a
looking good.
problem.
Like,
I don't want to be Maddie Devil's advocate, but like, I'll never hate on someone for having a general passion for something in the same way that we love Illinois basketball. Some people just love the sport of college basketball. I can get
I
behind that
still
if it's
need
the case.
investment. I
Yeah,
need to
no, it's the
know that
investment.
they have.
I'm so on Robert's side. They like floating names. They see the W, they see the L, they make an opinion that doesn't do anything. They have no investment in like an actual team winning or
But they
losing.
have it in the
They,
sport. To them,
to
every
them.
tournament is the greatest thing ever.
And
Like,
that's fine if they
because the
want to. If they
tournament
can,
has it.
no. All that
I don't
matters is
want
how many likes and retweets that they get. That's all that
to.
they
That's all
get. you care about. Mister, do you know what our
Right,
pa
John.
I almost just said what the password of the Twitter is out loud because I want to tell people what the
Right.
Twitter
No,
password
you're
is.
giving too many hints. Yes.
But let's just say, you
And let
know.
Josh eat for a little bit. Keep going, Josh.
No, it's just they just care so much about like I see like I saw some I looked at a bracket, someone's bracket for the first time today, and I was like, okay, it is what's the Big East guy's name? John Fanta's
Answer,
bracket.
yeah.
I was like, okay, how far is he going to put each and every one of the Big East teams that he follows to the bracket? He has Xavier beating us. He has St. John's going to the Elite Eight, which is probably a smart move. But like, he has Big East teams going far because that's the like the conference that he covers, and it's just like so clear and obvious. Are you
I'm
looking at
looking at
it?
his bracket. Hold on. He has one Big East team going far, and it's just St. John's.
Okay, that was my one second opinion on it, but it's just like stop being devil's advocate. Let me rant.
No, but I think to Josh's point and Robert's pointed this out before too, and I totally agree. When you watch a buzzer beater of a conference tournament and you see the one seed lose to the four seed in the semifinal, a lot of those national guys are like, oh my God, March is crazy. This is so much fun. We all look at it saying, think about the guys on the one seed
I
and how
agree.
terrible that is because of the investment they won the conference the entire season. They've played their asses off and now their season's over. And it's like, oh,
No,
that
I
the
agree with
pain that we have all felt as college basketball fans, the level of investment just doesn't compare to someone who's like, oh, look at the MEAC
buzzer beater.
tournament and look at the seventh seed. This is so much fun that Delaware is now playing Towson. Like, cool.
Let me take it one step further. In 2016, I believe. Yeah, 2016 is when Michigan State lost to Middle Tennessee. Anyway, I got tickets with some buddies to the games in St. Louis. And because A, it was in St. Louis, and B, we were going to be nowhere, anywhere close to the tournament. So I didn't have to worry about covering any of our games. So we just went to the first round games. Saw Giddy Potts and Middle Tennessee State knock off Michigan State in a 15-2 game. Also went to the second round games, and this is when Wisconsin beat, I can't remember, at the buzzer with a three from the corner.
Oh, well, they got buzzer. What's the Florida? Who got buzzer beater by Florida?
It
Was
was
that?
Wisconsin and Florida. That was
Yeah.
like maybe an Elite Eight game or Sweet 16
That might have been
game.
a different game, though. Yeah, but
So this is
that was.
Wisconsin beating them and going to the Sweet 16 again. And I think they were like a six or a seven or something like that. Regardless, I go and I'm taking Metrolink back to my condo in St. Louis, and I'm standing there at the Metrolink station outside of Enterprise Center in St. Louis. And there's a Wisconsin guy on the phone with his buddy, just going off on like another Sweet 16. This wasn't even supposed to be the year when the Sweet 16. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna watch it 14 times. I can't believe it. And he hit that three, and the guy was in it. That feeling as a
Yeah,
fan,
of course.
like you're unbeatable, and now we're gonna win next weekend, and like this wasn't even supposed to be the year. I've thought about that moment so many times of like, we just don't get that kind of. Like we've had the investment, right? Like we've had the moments of hoping we would someday get there. Excuse me. And now we're on this. So I think of that moment before all these tournaments of like that's the true greatness of a buzzer beater. It's not Jeff Borzello getting on Twitter and how great is March. Matt Norlander or John Rothstein, like, what an amazing slate of games today. The investment is you have to be like ride the wave with your team the whole season, and then that Wisconsin fan is like, I just didn't think we had it in us this year, and here we are back in the Sweet 16. And so, that's maybe I should resuscitate my article and finish it tonight with these moments, because like that's the thing that makes today so great, is that we have invested and we have rolled up and down and back and forth with this team, and we have had to defend and we have had to fight off the haters and this and that. And here we are, basically where we started, sixth seed, as Tyler had in the preview, and as KenPom had us, and as Jerry Palm had us in his very first bracket, and all this stuff. Here we are, sixth seed, good draw, chance to do the Wisconsin thing and make to the Sweet 16.
And you guys want to know who they beat in that game, that buzzer beater?
Bring it.
Omar Payne.
Z Xavier.
Ah,
Really?
Omar
Yeah, right.
Payne.
Right. That's right.
I
And what was it, a
can't remember.
7-2 game?
7-2 game. Xavier was the two seed. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember because Bill Murray was there because his son was an assistant on Xavier that year. And Bill Murray was there in St. Louis in Xavier gear.
Yeah,
Robert,
and
do
that's the
we?
2016 Wisconsin team of like back-to-back Final Fours. Now this is the down year. Like, yeah, just hilarious. Go
Who
for it, Sam.
was the guy who hit the corner three? Find me that information. Sam, what'd you say?
Bronson, was it Bronson Koenig, or was that a different?
I think you might be right. I think it might
I
have
was
been.
gonna say,
I think that's the guy.
I don't think we talked about Bill Murray last year because obviously we didn't know we were gonna play UConn until the Elite Eight. But I'm curious your thoughts about like. I don't know about
Peed
shtick
next to
fandom.
him. Does that count? Is that a
What'd you
thing?
say?
I peed next to him
That
in
counts.
Boston last year. So, you ever pee next to Bill Murray? No, I have like I am come one come all when it comes to Illini fandom. I understand with his son, he's going to support his son, so I have no issue if he's going to be like, I like Illinois and I like whoever my son coaches for. So, I have no ill will toward Bill not being our celebrity fan. We got Sean
Very
Adams.
fair. Yeah.
Look, I agree with all Robert. I agree with you, John. I agree with you that the skin in the game is what makes it fun. Absolutely. And it doesn't do anything for me to sort of like yuck someone else's fandom of like what you should root for and what you're not allowed to just root for college basketball. You're not allowed to be like the Rob Lowe with the NFL hat on. Like, if you want to do that, so be it. Yes, I agree. The skin in the game is what makes it fun. And Robert, I think that's why a lot of people have enjoyed reading a lot of your stuff for the last many, many years, especially with Illinois football, where it's like, this guy's covering two win football teams. You bet your ass I'm dying to read every word of what he's thinking about in a 10-win season. This man has sacrificed his life. I very frequently think about the From the Stands from the South Florida game, probably a little bit too frequently than I should be thinking about any From the Stands.
2018.
Yes, there was 1 second left on the clock. You got to get the ball up to your ball winner there, but
Oh God.
that's neither
Right.
here nor there. I don't want to yuck someone else's fandom of like it's entertainment. And if you're entertained by the sport of college basketball in the same way that you're entertained by anything else, like go for it. Like I'll still be over here in my Illini universe, but if you want to go all of this is March and buzzer beater, But I understand how it kind of feels like diluted, where it's like, but you haven't been following a team for a year. You're just rooting for chaos. You don't actually know what it's like to be, on the other end of it getting buzzer beatered, or you don't know what it's like to be a fan of the buzzer beatering team. So I understand what you're saying, where it kind of just takes the emotion out of it and you're just kind of diluting it. But if you want a fan, if you want to, like, Rossi's made a whole career out of covering college basketball. Good for him. That's an awesome career. Makes a bunch of money doing it. So is John Fanta. Like, that's a dream career right there. So I don't want to yuck anyone else's yum without allowing ourselves to have our own Illinois yummy.
I hear you. I hear you. Josh, I want to get to you said you wanted to wait till you were on here to talk about traveling the game. So I'm going to give you the floor to I want to hear what you had to say.
Oh, well, I think Johnny and Schwabert got a text from my wife, who is going to be in her 39th week of pregnancy. I was already telling, like, no, I'm not going to go to the game. I'm not going to go to the game. She's like trying to convince me to go. Your tweet is saying that, like, grab your friends, go to the game. It's just like, I'm in a spot where I don't want to be in Milwaukee when I get the call, you know?
What's the due date?
The 28th.
Which
So, what's
sucks
the
because we'll be
exact
playing that
mileage
day.
to the hospital you have chosen
Say again?
from
Have I
first?
mapped it yet? Have I mapped it yet? No.
Yes,
I
from
will do
Milwaukee. Because, I mean, you're basically in the northern suburbs here at this point in Milwaukee.
it.
So,
Yeah,
I typed
exactly,
in.
Josh. If Sydney like stays at your parents, like then you're
It's
really
about the hospital, Johnny.
true. Home birth?
No.
Is it not like a selection Sunday kind of deal where they tell you where you're going a few weeks
And
before and
Evanston Hospital region gets Sydney.
some player has the opportunity to like change what name we're going with. Let's just say that.
That's true. If there is, do you agree to this now, Josh? If there is a buzzer beater for us to win the national championship,
This is our Greenberg.
you have
Yeah.
to change that. It has to be.
Robert, the number of times that that has been said, those two words next to each other.
Do you think that's ever been said up until this point in the
It's
history of the world until
no,
we
it's
said it
been
for the
said
first time?
so many times. Like Johnny's like probably been like Tomislav Greenberg. It's like
Yeah.
Kasper's
I
Greenberg.
think Merez Greenberg is a name.
It's a bop, yeah.
Yes.
Does roll off the tongue. So you are coming with us on Sunday, Josh?
We'll see. Robert, I
Yeah,
guess
wait.
give the pitch.
Give my pitch for you going.
Yeah,
I
don't.
mean, yeah.
I'll
How
be, Robert
far
goes,
would you
I'll
be for
be
you?
there. I'll be at the
Okay.
game.
A,
Josh is
you
like, I'm
said
not coming.
Sydney already thumbed up.
She was like, unless like I'm like in labor, go.
Honestly, if it was anywhere but Milwaukee, I'd be like, you know what? You gotta chill, and you just never know, and you don't want to be caught and this and that. But if it's an hour and a half from the hospital, did you map it? What's the to the hospital from the arena?
I kind of forgot. No, I got it. Okay. We are at 52-minute drive right now. Oh, that's
Dude,
like
that's basically from where you live now to the
is that
hospital.
And we're gonna be playing. This would be like at like 8, like there's not gonna be traffic at like 9 at night. You're zipping down, and if you get pulled over,
Have
you
the
have the
baby
free my
excuse. Wait,
wife's
that
in
can't
labor
be
card.
right. I must have put in something wrong.
Fiserv forum, is that
I put in Pfizer. Let's
Johnny's
just
like, oh, you're right. That's not right. It would be 40 minutes if I'm driving.
You gotta go. Wait,
No,
did Sydney texted you guys and said, don't let Josh go?
no.
No,
Hour
that's
28.
28. Hour 28. That makes way more sense. I was like, no chance. Hour 28 is the time with
So
no
like an hour.
traffic.
So like an hour.
But we're
So we'll see
still
you on
like
Sunday.
12 days from due date.
At that time, we're like 7. We're like an exact week away from the due date.
So we would play that next. We would theoretically, since we play Friday, Sunday, if we go to the Sweet 16, we're
It would be
playing that.
Friday on her
Can
due
you
date.
map Indianapolis to the
We'd be playing on.
on your actual
Can we induce labor perhaps the day before so that
date?
everything works out?
First child's always late, right? Like, first child always is like a couple
Yeah,
days
so
after
true.
due date.
So true.
So,
That's not.
As I know from all of my
Yeah.
experience, I started with kids when they were 7, 9, and 11. So,
Easy. That's you don't miss any of the Illinois games. You don't have
and
to worry about a
100%.
due
Robert,
date.
one thing I am interested in seeing though is our group of friends, whenever there's an engagement, we've won a game every single time. Josh got engaged in February of 2022 when we beat Michigan State on the road.
Brent buzzer beater.
We had another one this year who got engaged on the day of the Michigan football game. So we've always just been at engagement parties at a lot of these different
And this
things.
is the
So
first baby of the group. Yeah,
this will
exactly,
be the first
exactly.
baby.
So you got to think the baby bump is going to be real
Oh,
too.
for sure. What are we, 4-0? We had the Florida
So
Atlantic football
maybe
game.
2 days for Sydney, so we can get an Elite Eight win. That'd be nice. Or do we do a full week
Can
late?
we hold off,
Wait,
Josh? Yeah, can we hold off?
Johnny, were you saying 2 days is like a 2 day labor?
No, like two
Oh,
days
okay.
late. Like if she's due the
Got it.
Friday, then
Got
she
it.
has a kid on the Sunday. But
Yeah.
could she wait all the way till the Saturday, the
Oh,
following Saturday?
you're like, let's we already have the first two rounds
Yeah,
in the bag. So
exactly.
yeah, I knew that's what you were thinking.
Because
Let's
at that
wait,
point, we're
Josh.
playing an 8 seed Gonzaga in the Elite Eight. Like, do we need the baby? But
Well, here's what I've got. I've got a thing in St. Louis on the 29th
uh-oh.
with my wife, and we were talking about it, and she's like, "Are you clear for that?" I'm like, "Illinois would have to be in an Elite Eight game for that to happen." So I don't think this is an Elite Eight team. I think we're totally fine to sign up for that. So,
Bulletin board material, send that to
Johnny.
the players.
Yes.
Send
Johnny was
that to
about
the
to be like, "So no, you're not clear for
players.
that." It's
Send
like you're
that to the
putting your foot in
players.
your mouth here. You're really.
I'm on the record now.
Do you guys
All
remember
right.
our first podcast where we did over-unders? Like we had
Yeah.
that one bit that we
Yeah.
did that we didn't do in our after in the next 104 up
Yeah.
episodes.
Yes, sure.
Was I in the hot tub for that one?
Yeah, you were.
Okay, good.
Over under number of times Johnny gets put on TV this tournament. I'll set it
Oh,
at
you missed it.
half.
We talked
Oh
about this
no, I
because
came in too
no,
late.
it's okay. It's okay. Well, we were saying that because the game's in Milwaukee and there's going to be a lot more Illinois fans that it's going to be
Yeah.
less likely, but I wouldn't put it past Johnny. Johnny, I think you got to just maybe take your shirt off or kind of do something different.
You gotta wear the Inception shirt.
Oh yeah, are we making shirts
Shirt
of
of
the shirt?
shirt of
We're
a
making the
shirt,
shirt
yeah.
of the
Shirt of
shirt.
shirt.
We're making the shirt of the shirt this year and we're selling it.
Johnny, I think I told you this, but I had people texting me like from the tailgate, like people from the tailgate of like, "That's your guy. Your guy gets put on TV."
Oh, that's
Which what an
amazing.
amazing performance.
Johnny, huge mistake. We didn't wear like a boardroom t-shirt. Like you really needed to just
Yeah, I
wear
really
like
could
a
have
at the
advertised.
we really could have gotten, you know, because an international or a national audience, like all these fans of different teams are really trying to find like an Illinois basketball podcast to listen to. So it's really good advertising and good marketing. He'll get on TV, Josh. Don't worry. Cool. Okay. We've been at this for a little while now. Any final thoughts going into, I'm going to say the best time of the year. I say this as an Illinois fan. I don't say this as a national, I don't say this as a lover of college basketball. Of course, I say this as an Illinois fan only, one of the
Well,
best.
Maddie, I think the
Rough team
perfect.
thing is like, is it this? No, it's college basketball.
Yeah. Anarchy? Nope. College
Oh,
basketball.
anarchy.
Anytime an upset happens. I think, Maddie, I think the perfect example of someone we respect is Scott Van Pelt, which is he's
Maryland
going to
fan.
show you all the highlights. But at the same time, he's very clear he's a Maryland fan to the point that he is getting into Twitter arguments with Illini fans constantly. Like he was pulling up tweets of Illini fans being like, "Oh, we lost that home game because Tommy was hurt." And then 2 months later, he's like, "Oh, what happened?" Like that I respect, you know,
That's
that's like
100%.
he's
That's
very
effort.
clear he's going to live and die by Maryland and
That's it.
also enjoy what's going on.
Fair.
To
Fine.
quote Brad Underwood, you love to see the tears. It means the investment is there.
Yep.
I think you're taking that out of context, though, Sam. I think you're the tone in which you said it, very different than how he said
How did he say
it. Well,
it?
you're like happy about the tears. Brad is
Oh,
like
yeah.
respectful of the
No.
tears.
I actually, there is a part of me that's like Fran McCaffrey. That guy is crazy, and I will miss how crazy he is about his team.
Yep.
I will
Totally
miss
agree.
Fran. I will miss Fran. Tyler, Robert, anything else? Anything else to take us out here before the music does?
No, I'm ready to roll. Let's do this. It is March. Is that my that's my best tagline. I invented that. It is March.
Theoretically speaking, you are,
I'm the national headline guy. It is March.
You are correct. You are absolutely correct. All righty. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Boardroom, everybody. We'll catch you on the next episode. ILL.